We're honored to be joined by Cardinal Blaise Supich, Archbishop of Chicago. Thank you so much for joining us, Your Eminence. These are unprecedented times. We need not repeat that. People are stressed. They're scared. How do you see faith helping us get through this?
Well, thanks, Earl, for this opportunity. I think that people have a deep spiritual life that comes to the surface in moments like this and that they depend on. And one way it manifests itself is the way that they care for others. I think that's always a good signal that their spiritual life is something that's very much alive. And I see that so abundantly clear in these days. People who are just stepping forward and wanting to do their best to make sure people aren't left behind, and all the healthcare workers and first responders. So I think it's important for people just to take a moment and reflect on the fact that something really is surfacing in their lives that speaks of generosity and care for others, and that is where I think they're going to find a real spiritual consolation, that they're not alone, that that's a real gift that they have in their life.
Some people will undoubtedly lose faith at a moment like this. How do you minister to them?
Faith is like this virus in a way. It can be contagious. When we begin to give witness to the fact that we're going to believe and hope that we're going to get through this, when we reach out to people who are in need, we can be supportive of one another. So I think it's up to each one of us to spark a sense of faith in one another. Let's take responsibility for each other's own faith lives and sources and reasons for hope. I think that's very important at this time. Yes, there are people who easily lose faith and hope in the situation. They especially need our assistance. And so if we do have faith and hope, let's make sure that we share it.
This is a really difficult time for the families of those who are really sick or have passed away. They can't be with them because of the protocols, and there are no funerals. How is the church helping with both of those issues?
You're exactly right. Not only do people suffer the heartache of the loss of a loved one, but they also have the double heartache of not being able to have the rituals in which they're commended to God, and they find support from one another in coming together. I think that the best we can do at this point is for all of us to collectively continue to pray for them and pray for the dead. But also, after this is all over, we as a church and a society are going to have to look for various rituals to bring about healing and recovery in our society and in our families. So we're right now thinking about ways in which we can contribute to that kind of recovery and healing afterwards. But let's not sugarcoat it. It is a double heartache of losing someone, but also not having the rituals that bring healing to each one of us.
Well, that's an excellent point you're making, Cardinal Supich. How are families going to recover on the other end from this?
Well, again, I think that we're just going to have to monitor the wound that's happening in our society today. And I think that we have to begin thinking right now, what are the ways in which we're going to be stronger as a nation, as a city, as a society, and as a church? What is happening right now that's bringing us together that we can continue to nourish once we leave here? But we also have to make sure that there are a lot of people who are going to have to be made whole financially, in terms of their career, in terms of their own family relationships, because as you said, this is bringing stress into a lot of families, and they're going to have to negotiate relationships that perhaps might have been strained even beforehand. So I think we're looking at ways in which we can bring healing to people during these days, but also afterwards. And I think the agenda for that is unwritten, simply because we don't know how long this is going to last or how much damage is going to be done.
We know the Catholic Charities is a really important part of the community. It helps not just with homelessness. It houses a lot of people. It has food services. You name it, Catholic Charities touches it in some way, shape, or form in Chicago. Donations, obviously, are curtailed for every charity at this moment. How is Catholic Charities responding to this?
Well, I think right now Catholic Charities is continuing to do its work, and of course there are a lot of strains on its budget, so I would encourage people to consider helping them. But we also have these food pantries and assistance in our parishes that's taking place. And so, again, I think people need to be supportive of our pastors, because a lot of the delivery system has to be very localized. We have a pretty good footprint here in Cook and Lake County, and we're looking for ways in which we can exploit that for the good of people. So if people do have the ability, if they still have their job, if they have their source of income, and they're looking at ways in which maybe they can be of assistance, please reach out to your parishes, to Catholic Charities. But one other thing we have to keep in mind, too, is that in this latest CARES bill, nonprofits were kind of left out of the ability to have the same kind of benefit for unemployment insurance. So a lot of nonprofits, not just charities that help the poor, but others need, I think, that kind of assistance and to be included, because they also have people that are under their employment. They also have folks who are worried about their future and their families. So hopefully maybe the government can step in to help with that as well.
Has the Archdiocese had to lay anybody off?
At this point, we're looking at a financial plan right now for our parishes, in which our first stage is going to include making sure that our parishes have the stability they need. And if some people need to be furloughed, we're having a plan in place that makes them whole. And I think that with the either the government check that they're going to receive or other means, we want to make sure that people are not left behind for the present moment. We may have to take more drastic actions and be more aggressive, but at this point, we're trying our best that if people are going to be furloughed, we want to make sure that they're kept whole.
We'll be back with more from Cardinal Blaise Supich, Archbishop of Chicago. We're joined again by Cardinal Blaise Supich, Archbishop of Chicago. There are no public masses being held. That's especially tough on older and more devout parishioners who are very used to the ritual. How is the Archdiocese adjusting to that?
Well, and it's not only the usual attendance of Sunday Mass and coming to weekday Mass, but we're entering into the holiest week of all, coming with the various Masses during Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and those various rituals. So they're going to miss all of that. I think we're doing a couple of things. First of all, we're having the televised Mass every Sunday, and I'm grateful for ABC here in Chicago that has given us the time. And in fact, for Palm Sunday and Easter, they're giving us a full hour at noon on both of those days. Parishes are live streaming their Masses as well for their parishioners. We're also trying to put an effort together that we want to announce soon that's going to draw the whole community together here in Chicago, especially as we think about the Lord's Passion. And how is it that maybe as we were drawn together in 2017 and the Good Friday service that we had against violence, that we might be able to replicate that this year on Friday next week to draw people together in faith? Everything's not in place yet, but hopefully we'll be able to announce something soon.
So people should go to their parish websites to find details?
That's right, and also to archchicago.org, and they'll be able to see there are prayer aids, there are opportunities for having daily Mass, for the Sunday Mass as well, and then, of course, it'll be on ABC Chicago noon on Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday.
Billions of people around the world are being affected by this. There are 1 billion Catholics in the world. How is the Church globally handling this? Have you spoken to other cardinals?
I have talked to other cardinals and also been in communication with people in Rome. I don't know if you saw the beautiful ceremony that the Holy Father had last Friday, in which in a empty St. Peter's Square, he walked up the steps up to St. Peter's all alone in the rain, and look for a way to draw people together. Those colonnade arms of St. Peter's Basilica there seem to be an extension of his embrace of the whole world. And I think that the Holy Father has really taken the lead in that and allowed us to see that we do enjoy a unity within the Church that can bind us together and give us hope.
Cardinal Supich, how is this affecting you, not just as Archbishop, but as a human?
Well, I can tell you just on a very human level, my days are longer. I think I'm working harder than I ever did, simply because you have limited staff. The people who do support me and staff are working even harder than I am. I think maybe because I'm giving them so much work to do. but it is making demands on that. But the other thing that it does for me, too, is it really gives me the opportunity to reflect on all the things that bind us together. I've been on the phone with the governor and the mayor, other officials, ecumenical leaders, and the human vulnerability and common vulnerability that we share really erases all those divisions and those things that usually separate us in life. And for me, I really am finding a new sense of what it means to be a human being, how we can tap into our humanity that really recognizes that each one of us are vulnerable in this moment. No one's immune from this illness. And that is, I think, a wake-up call for all of us to make sure that we look for ways in which we're going to have a more unified society and a world.
Cardinal Supich, how can the church reach out to people who may not be in the same faith community in this increasingly secular world?
It is, but on the other hand, I would say that I'm seeing that there are signs of hope in people who might have had only a secular approach to life as they're talking about their own spirituality, as they're also attending to the good spirits in their life that allow them to be generous and loving and caring for others. The self-sacrifice of people, especially those who are first responders and healthcare workers, is an inspiration to us all.
That is such an important point, Cardinal, because I know that there are priests who are assigned specifically to Chicago Fire, Chicago Police, to hospitals. And let's talk a little bit about how important they are right now. And are you staying in touch with them?
Yes. We have a phone tree in which I call my six Episcopal vicars and all of the deans, there are 31 of them, every week. And then they, in turn, call our priest. We also arrange for 24 of our priests to go through instructions on how they cooperate with healthcare facilities if there is a need for a priest to come in and to anoint someone who's dying. So we have all of that in place, and we're looking for a way to keep them safe and yet at the same time to be able to offer consolation to people. We really are seeing a new energy in our men to connect with their people and stay in contact with them. And I have to say, I'm so very proud of all of our staff and especially all of our pastors and priests.
Cardinal Supich, is there any plan for a special service at the end of this pandemic to remember those who are lost and also look toward the future?
Well, I would say that already the Holy Father has issued a new mass to be said during this time of plague. And I suppose that work is being done on an international level to do the same. But I would say that if for us to be involved in something like that, and we do need the healing and recovery and rebuilding, that I would like to do it with the broad span of ecumenical leaders as well as civic leaders. Because I think that if this terrible crisis has drawn us together, we should not squander what we've gained in terms of that newfound unity. And so I would like to work with all of the leaders across the board, civic, religious, business, labor, here in Chicagoland, to look for a way in which we can give expression to that need for recovery and healing.
Before I let you go, Cardinal Supich, may I ask you to say a prayer for us?
Yes, I'd be happy. Thanks, Ro, for that opportunity. And I pray especially for families that are struggling to keep their children's attention on their studies, for those who are negotiating being together, especially maybe in their teenage years when they'd like to go out, but also to healthcare workers, and especially those for those families who have lost loved ones in this time. Lord, we ask you to console us with your presence. Keep us ever close to you, but also close to each other. And in that way, know that you're very much present in our lives, especially as we look for ways of sacrificing, of helping one another, of making sure that no one is left behind. Continue to watch over those who risk their lives each and every day to keep us safe. And in a special way, we ask your healing hand on those who are suffering at this moment from this illness. Bring them to full health and banish this disease from all of humanity, so that once again we will be safe, knowing the care of your arms and your love. We ask this in faith. Amen.
Cardinal Blaise Supich, Archbishop of Chicago, thank you for your service to this community.
Thank you. I appreciate the time to speak to people. Thanks for your service.